Yes, Prabhu. Nityananda Das Prabhu.
Now, there are several questions from our anonymous provider who provides us with those questions. First one, what is your opinion on AI, artificial intelligence? Recently, the AlphaGo master, that is the program developed by Google, warned the Chinese chess game against all human beings.
Three things Guru Maharaj tells us we are to conceive, and we hear in general Indian philosophical spiritual consideration: Sat, Chit, Anandam. You know, existence, Sat, cognition, Chit, and Anandam, happiness. What is his name? Theodore Rozsák. He wrote a book called The Cult of Information. And one example he gave there, he said, and he's someone using a computer, when he mentioned, like, I have a file cabinet next to my desk, and in that file cabinet, there's so much information or data. He said, does that mean that it's superior to me? Right, I've got this box here with, you know, or here in the old days, the phone book. I don't know all the names in the phone book. What is important is the interpreter. And even they use, you may know, another, they use that language, right, and programming. You have interpreters and... But back to its more conventional meaning, and our friend Nietzsche, you know, there are no facts, there's only interpretations. And we can argue about what he really meant. I'm repurposing these things. There should be a little Krylon on the bound this, going beneath the screen saying, he is repurposing many different ideas in relation to Krishna consciousness. Please do not email us with your idea about what the original was meant. But on this point, interpretation, the interpreter, the feeler, right? One machine could convey to another machine, as they do, an email, you know, that someone just passed away, right? And blazing, you know, from, and it just happened to me recently, they send a message from somewhere saying some person passed away. And the machines are capable of even suggest, you know, beloved, condolences, they can suggest all of these things. But they're originally suggestions from human beings who had feelings. So those computers, they have no feeling about what was this message that was sent on either side. But it was meaningful to the person who sent it to me. They were full of feelings. And this actually was secondary to what their feelings were. Right? And there can even be typos or misprints or so many other things. And even factoring that in, I can understand what their feelings are. Even with apparent mistakes, a machine might correct that because it has no feelings, right? So that it can possess information that a thinking, feeling, willing person can program it to, what is it called when they do self-improvement? There's a phrase for that, self-correcting or whatever it is. Systems that correct themselves, like in Google Translate, they're providing better and better translate.
Expert systems.
Yes, but there's also this element to it of self-correcting. Right, they're actually correct. It's not a person. They're making corrections, but again, it's on the basis of, you know, a thinking, feeling, willing person, in a sense, transfer their energy into that. I remember once an AI person in Silicon Valley with a friend of mine said, like, these foolish people, you know, like the ghost in the machine idea. He said, like, he gave an example. He said, if you, the old rubber band propelled airplane, we had them as probably people have to like Google it to find out what it is. But anyway, you'd twist this little thing, it was with a rubber band, and then it would fly. And he said, so these foolish people, you know, with the ghost in the machine, they think they don't understand, but you know, there's a rubber band inside. They're overwhelmed by the magic of flight. And that person, who my friend, who was a little bit puzzled by that, what do you think? And without thinking much about it, he said, how can you ignore the fact that, you know, a thinking, feeling, willing being transferred some of their energy as they wound the blade? It was an energy transfer. It was not some inexplicable act or a law. It was a law of science. Yeah, it was a transfer of energy. Someone who possessed energy transferred it into that. So he's thinking, these foolish people who think it's flying automatically, you're foolish to ignore the fact about the transfer of energy. And really, interestingly to some, if you hear Mahaprabhu's explanation to when he's speaking to the Mayavadins, Prakasananda Saraswati and his followers, and he, in one part, he gives an explanation about what Shankaracharya's basic contention is, that Vyasadeva is mistaken in his assertions. So to believe all this, you have to believe that Veda Vyas blew it. He made a mistake in what he was asserting, because the theory of transformation. And their idea, which seems to catch the interest, they're saying, if that the absolute Brahma, that something, was transformed into something else, that can't possibly be. It would disturb its absoluteness, its unified Brahman feel, all of that, if it transformed into something else. So they're saying he's mistaken in this idea. But Mahaprabhu, Guru Maharaj, they will explain, no, this is how Brahma, through some marvelous transformation, that's why we use the word energy or Shakti, that some material energy is created, which ultimately we concede is producing illusion. But it's not that there's nothing there. As Guru Maharaj said with regard to Shankaracharya once said, I will now describe everything in half a sloka. There are all these Vedas, Puranas with thousands and thousands of slokas, and some of them are big, long slokas with many, you know, metric lines in them. He's saying, no, I'm going to describe everything in half a sloka. How's that? And what did he say? Sarvam kalv idam brahma. Sarvam, everything is brahma. Oh, no, that's not, excuse me, I always say this, that first, and then get to the actual one. Jagan, what did he say? Jagan Mitya. Brahma Satya Jagan Mitya. That's what he's saying. Brahma Satya is the truth. Jagan all this mithya, false. That's his half sloka. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma wouldn't do in this case. But actually, in a sense, it would, because similar thing. So Guru Maharaj's answer is saying, so the Jagan that you say is mithya, what is this thing you're referring to that is false? And to whom have you come to preach? One Chinese man that we met, and now he was visiting from Mayapur, he's from Taiwan, and he was saying how. And he's married, his wife is a dentist. I find that relevant, actually, in this story. And he's saying, sitting there saying, like, doing the nothing exists thing, and it's all just a projection for me. And I said, like, who are you talking to? He went like, and I said, and who's that woman over there who thinks she's your wife? Does she know that you think like this? That she doesn't really exist? And when she's practicing dentistry, what is she doing? Removing imaginary teeth? So, really, the policeman, and every Bengali has got a little guru inside. And not only Bengalis, but we have some special love for Bengalis. So he wants me to, like, I'm not just a policeman, I know Vedanta, And he said, anyway, we're having this discussion. Anyway, he's like filling out a report in the midst of the report. Anyway, what does it matter? It's all quarks. Everything's just quarks. And I said, is your wife a quark? And does she know that you think like that? Didn't take time to consider that. That what is this marvelous transformation where Brahma can appear in so many, we could say, illusory representations. That's true, but it's not, it's something. Right. So, I'll say this to sort of jump to a conclusion back on the AI sort of thing. I would say, see, they're going this route of trying to, the doubling idea, you keep doubling your computing ability and the self-correcting expert systems and all that. That's one way to approach. But another way to approach is to actually create the circumstances whereby which a soul or atma or consciousness enters that body. And that would not, again, that would not be you creating consciousness. But I would concede you could create circumstances whereby which consciousness could enter. But you wouldn't be actually generating consciousness. So, we should not mistake data transfer, the transfer of information, and even knowledge, per se, as being the substantial thing. So back to that sequence, Sat, Chit, Anandam. There are things which exist, this exists. I'm aware of its existence. It is not aware of my existence. So that put, like Descartes, cogito ergo sum. I can understand I'm in a superior position to this because I'm aware of it, while it is unaware of me. But that said, just being aware or knowledgeable about something or even many things, sarvagya, knowing everything, does not address this need I have once I become self-aware. Once I become self-aware, my inner necessity is actually not knowledge. Knowledge may be useful along the way in achieving self-awareness, or what some writers call, thinkers call, autonomy. There's a group of thinkers known as pragmatists who believe in achieving autonomy, an autonomous self. And interestingly, I mean, I find this interesting to hear about, but also amusing, because their idea is predicated upon that hearing from others, and we could qualify them as experts, and more specifically, in their view, authors, artists, but particular type of art, authors, writers, very, you know, writers in the highest sense of the word, they're saying, by hearing from them, we will achieve, and many of them, you can achieve autonomy, become a truly autonomous thinking self. And they will say, for example, that going back to the Greek, they only go back as far as the Greeks. They think like the world began with Greek civilization. I remember when my brother, I would look at his books because he was 8 years older than me. And I saw this one because he's going to college. I thought, oh, he's going to college. Now he knows he'll know everything. And when he came back, like after 3 months, I asked him so many questions, like was driving him mad. But one of the books I saw, it said, Western Civilization. And just naively, I wasn't trying to be snarky or anything. I just said like, oh, is there a book on Eastern civilization? And you're like, no, no. Like, why not? I don't understand. Like, that's the core. Where's Eastern? No, it's called Western Civ, Western civilization. So anyway, back to that time, Socrates, Aristotle, they talked about the gods, you know, and the goddesses. But the pragmatists say, you know, whether there are actually any gods or goddesses, come on, we don't really know. You don't know, and I don't. You haven't seen any. We don't know that. So why should we live our lives in terms of what's pleasing to the gods? You know, we don't know. I mean, even if that was a good, we don't know what's pleasing to them. We don't even know if they exist or not, really. But what we do know is we're having this conversation. I know I exist. You know you exist. And in fact, we're having this conversation as kind of implies our mutual existence. And you have certain needs, wants, preferences, etc., as do I. And we know others. So let's factor that all in and work something out that's mutually beneficial. I mean, who's going to argue against that? And the reason they put so much emphasis on writers, like adventures of the intelligence, is that they'll say, for example, like we know, there's some very simple-hearted people here in Thailand, the people who help us here. Maybe they're not literate. Yeah. Maybe they can't express themselves. But an artist, in this sense, a writer, can tell their stories of that person, because we need to factor them into this equation also. What are their wants, desires, preferences, etc., and the things they dislike. So through the art of literature, we will become empathetic to others and at last become free from cant, which means in this sense, C-A-N-T, like sanctimonious recitation of formula, and become original thinker. And it sounds very good and all that. But if you notice, conveniently, God is made to be irrelevant because we cannot verify his position. And it's back to that challenge, why this is so critical to understanding and theistic culture. The challenge of the man, the Guru Maharaj, when Guru Maharaj was preaching in Karachi, and the man said, if the finite can know the infinite, he's not infinite. And we have to stop for a minute and think, there's some truth there. The finite, and it's acknowledged from one side, it can also be acknowledged by theists. The infinite is beyond the knowing capacity of the finite. So one group will conclude, that means God doesn't exist. You can't prove the existence of God. But that's not the end of the story. But we will concede. We will say yes. As Rupa Goswami says, Atak Sri Krishna Nama Adina Bhavye Grahyam Indriye. Grahyam means the grasp of the mind and senses. So he's saying, Nam, Rupa, Guna, Leela are all beyond the grasp of the senses, which includes the mind and by extension the intelligence. It doesn't mean that they don't exist. Saying it's beyond the mental grasp, we'll say, beyond the grasp of your mind for the finite to properly conceive the infinite by finite means. What are finite means? Bhumir, apo, analo, vayu, kam, mano, buddhir, eva, cha. Ahankara, iti, yame, bina, prakriti, rasidha. I just wonder, why does Guru Maharaj use this verse to defeat Sahajya Azam? Because I'd heard it for so many years, Bhagavad Gita. That's why we keep hearing, it's important to keep hearing these things over and over and over, and then some, by the grace of our Guru Varga, some new light comes, a new way of seeing them. They're living. They're only passively posing as slokas in a book or in digital media or whatever it is. Actually, it's living, chinmoy, spiritual substance, personality, wanting to be revealed, looking for a qualified recipient, a faithful hearer. So what does that verse say? It's Krishna in Bhagavad Gita in the seventh chapter saying, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. These are what? They're prakriti, but they're of a lower nature. Bina prakriti rasidha. These are the divisions of this lower type of prakriti, that marvelous transformation of Brahma. Right, which doesn't disturb its position. Right. But in the next verse, he says, Aparayam itastvanyam prakritim vidime param. There's a prakriti that is param, superior to that. What is it called? Jiva bhuta mahabaho yaya dam daryate jagat. Jiva shakti is superior to these elements. And why this is critical for understanding and as a sidebar on Sahajyaism, it mentions mind as a mundane element. So, and the intelligence. These are mundane elements. So the idea to infuse mundane substance, to have the mind in a mental way, just think of images of Krishna, right? Vibrate the name of Krishna into your ear canal while envisioning mentally images of Krishna, and you'll have a divine experience. That would be the mundane generating the spiritual, right? The finite producing the infinite. So when I said, if the finite can know the infinite, it's not infinite. There's a half-truth there. But Guru Maharaj's immediate response to him was, if the infinite cannot make itself known to the finite, it's not infinite. And he said, handshake, and the man went, oh, that's the perfect answer. Yes, the finite, you know, the sum total of the finite will never equal the infinite. Right? Or even a very intelligent finite. You know, Einstein, or Newton or Stephen Hawking, whoever it is, all together they will not generate the infinite. But the second half is where we get our relief and what forms the basis, the foundation of theistic culture, when Guru Maharaj said, but the infinite, if he cannot make himself known to the finite, he's not infinite. I've mentioned two world-class, famous atheists of the 21st century, both friends throughout, both avowed atheists. But one of them saying to the other, he said, but I mean, we would have to admit, just being rational people, that in the infinite possibility of things, we wouldn't rule it out. although we don't believe it. But the other friend said, no, I won't say that, because he knew. Once you concede that, you've opened the door for God and God thought, and as Saraswati Thakur says, Krishna loving people, of whom we aspire to be. As I told that professor on the plane, the computer scientist on China Air, we're flying Beijing, New York, and I said, can you say with absolute certainty, can you deny that the original source of all aroma, like these jasmine flowers, right? And so many nice flowers here. And that is a orchid, I guess, right? Isn't it? There's like 1,000 different orchids in China. Look at these, the beauty, their aroma, feel, they're beautiful to look at, all of these things, right? I said, can you deny with absolute certainty that the original source of all aroma has no olfactory capacity? As I can sit here and go, ah, and it can alter my mood, make me feel some happiness, and the texture is nice, is beautiful, it's visually beautiful, right? And he said, and he's a hardcore computer scientist, teaches advanced computer science, major American university. And he said, as you have framed the question, because I've put in, qualified it by saying absolute certainty, not just that you probably think not, no, with absolute certainty, can you deny that the original source of all aroma has no olfactory capacity? What you and I have, like the bees who go around pollinating everything, them, I think it's more of a visual thing. Does anybody know? Then I guess I can just make up something. No, but we know, I don't want to say anything inaccurate, but I think it's visual, because there's been a lot on this recently, because there's been a problem with bees. Because in Australia, there was a bottle of beer, this is a classic Australian thing, and this, there, and it looked like this, insect it was. That beer looked like a female and of that species, and they kept trying to mate with that. It was like a visual thing. So they had to change those beer bottles to save the species. They were being fooled. But anyway, that's another subject on illusion. But let's say, whatever it is, the bees, they're going there. Well, we know they want nectar. Doesn't everybody? And they take the nectar, and then they get the pollen on their legs, and then they go to another flower, and this pollination happens that way. But he said, as you say, with absolute certainty? He said, no, I can't say that. And I said, because I was going to ask him a series of questions. I said, then I don't need to ask you another question. And he understood what I was alluding to. In other words, I could rephrase that question for seeing, hearing, feeling, for all tasting. So these very basic things, we're saying the ultimate source of everything, or the original source of everything, would be absent some very basic sensual capacity. Why should we think like that? In fact, how exciting and thrilling it is to think of that possibility, that the original source of everything possessing senses, and then it would include mind, intelligence, all these things. But what would be the difference? Magnitude, the finite and the infinite, the sun ray and the sun. So, so on that, like those bees looking for that nectar, And in my childhood, where I used to live, there were blackberry bushes, patches out in the woods. And like, we would be thrilled if you found one. Like, take off our baseball caps, you know, get on our knees and start picking blackberries, put them in your hat, you know, carry them back. But I remember one time, I'm like pushing these, and they have thorns too, you have to be careful. I'm like pushing them back, because sometimes the very juicy ones are like deep inside. And I push this back and I look and I see there's this turtle who's looking at me. Now we're like, you know, and his eyes are there and he has like blackberries all over his, you know, like everywhere. And he's like looking at me and I'm looking at him. And they're so intoxicating. I mean, he didn't like run or move. He's just there chewing on them because they grow low to the ground. And I realized in that instant that in a way, like, we're searching for the same thing. Some camaraderie. That you're searching for sweetness. I'm also searching for, not only that, it's like apparently the same sweetness that you're eager to taste. So like that turtle, I get it, he gets it. What we're saying, the original source of all of this, no. Senseless, unfeeling, incapacitated, lame. That's why Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Bhagavat, he's talking about Prakasananda there. In Charitamritam, Prakasananda gets a nicer read, I would say. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Mahaprabhu, when he's at Murari Gupta's house and he does Varaha Bhav, at one point he's also riding around on Murari Gupta's shoulders and these extraordinary pastimes, he said, there's a sannyasi in Varanasi who's trying to mutilate my divine form. Why? By saying he's nirakar, or Brahma is nirakar, formless. That's what he's saying, trying to mutilate me by saying he has no arm, cutting off the arms, legs, eyes, ears, no. But in that way, mutilation. It's a mutilation of divinity. Mayavad, those ideas. Thank you. So, Anandam. Once you become self-aware, a third factor enters that knowing faculty cannot satisfy, and that's the desire for happiness, pleasure, love, affection, relationship, searching for your counterpart. The beautiful line Guru Maharaj quotes from Radharani, prati anga lage kande prati anga mor, saying, who is Krishna? Who can satisfy anga, means every part of myself, but also means every sense, who can satisfy that? That's why reality, the beautiful, and Govinda, we're told in one place, who satisfies all the senses. What does that mean? Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling. So it means, you know, visual beauty, sound beauty, the beauty of movement, the beautiful taste. And to an infinite degree, infinite beauty, infinite beautiful taste. Right? Who can, that's what we're hankering for. Temporarily, in this world, due to a lack of being educated about that possibility, which Narada told Vyas, that's what you didn't do clearly, and you have to do that in the Bhagavatam. We start trying to impose absolute search criteria upon the non-absolute or the persons, places, things of this world. And like the, you know, online various versions of like matchmaker.com or something like that, right? And you would think, with all this data and everything they know about your preferences, your likes, your, you know, like the music you listen to, what you ate for breakfast, you know, the clothes you bought, you know, like everything about you is known, you would think you just go like, you know, like swipe, and they're like, oh, there's my soulmate, my better half. Right? Still down to the interpreter. So, but really, if we think about this tendency, and I don't mean to make light of it, because I believe that romantic love is ultimately realized in Krishna conception. Right? In this world, the romantic ideals of Romeo and Juliet. Why does everyone know this story? Even if they haven't read, they know what it is. Because we're hardwired for that story. We all want that story. And that's why all these love stories over the ages, they pull on the heart of everyone gets it. The torch song, and what are we told particularly? The love and separation, which is more intense. Every love story that we know of that is major has some sort of tragic aspect to it. And there's the separation of the lovers. And what does that do? It makes the heart go deeper, and it makes the feelings penetrate the deepest region of heart that is otherwise not achieved. And that's why we get a glimpse of that, or more than a glimpse, in Ramlila, but it reaches its ultimate expression in Krishna Lila. It goes from Ramlila to the Queens of Dwaraka. Remember the 10th chapter of the Bhagavatam, maybe the 90th chapter, when it deals with the separation slokas of the Mahishigan, the Queens of Dwaraka, which are astonishing, the way they're in their madness of separation, they're talking to birds and inanimate things. What is this one bird? Kurari. They have a particular wailing call, and they're the queens who are sleepless from separation from Krishna. They say, oh, are you like us? You know, that's why you're up, because you have been separated from your Lord. Whatever they're feeling in their hearts is projected into that environment. And it's a reflection. Everything becomes a reflection of the heart. Right? This is transcendental science. How to interpret the world. Everything is a reflection of the inner quality of heart. When one devotee went to the mat and asked Guru Maharaj, now that I'm here, what should be my seva, my service? And he said, oh, when you're visiting mat, you know, you help out with the cleaning or the cooking or this. And he's not, they're going to say something like that. And Guru Maharaj said, your service? He said, to acquire the proper angle of vision. That's your service. To acquire the proper angle of vision, the proper way of seeing things. It's not you're going to see two different sets of things. Well, internally, that's another thing. The higher devotees' real-time live stream lila. But I mean in terms of how we view the world and transactions with the world will all be seen differently. Saying you need to acquire the proper angle of vision, how to see everything. And that will lead to the awakening of internal seeing, Shastra Chaksu, through the eyes of the scriptures, Shrutekshita, Ase Shrutekshita Pato, Nanunata Pungsang. It says, Ase Shruta Ikshita, Shrutekshita means seeing through hearing. This will help one acquire the proper angle of vision. But anyway, why did I say, oh, so in that search for Anandam, Queens of Dwaraka, and then its highest expression in Krishna Lila. But that love and affection that we seek we're so hardwired for that and so desperate to find that, that even if statistically, and they can show, they could tell you, like in the case of men and women, they say, well, don't you know statistically the higher percentage of relationships dissolve, right? Or some scientists who come and say, actually, love, we're just promiscuous chemicals. And there's no such thing as love, it's just this chemical interaction, and then there's certain types of biology and the biological imperative, and we're glorifying these natural processes with words like love, and et cetera, but it's actually, there's no substance to it. It's just a chemical. There's just dopamine, you see a particular thing, and then dopamine starts hitting your thing, it's an enjoyable experience. Like Gorman said, they've ruined the moon. When they went to the moon, they came back and like everyone went to see, and they show in a glass case a bunch of rocks. It says moon rocks from NASA, you know, like $80 billion. Everyone's like, they don't glow. Everyone thought, you look up and see the sky, the moon's like extraordinary. And we thought like, that's it? You know, they don't even look like good. We have better rocks than that on Earth. And so he said, they ruined it. You know, and Guru Maharaj mentioned, what is for the newly married? Honeymoon? and then the subject of romantic poetry, so many times moon is there. And also in Krishna poetry, you know, Chandramukhi and many things. The moon-like face of Krishna. So Guru Maharaj said in this passion, he said, leave us with our imagination. We don't want to hear some objective scientific analysis of what the moon is. That still will not change how we feel when we look at the moon and the sky. And we'll say, well, that's just see what you're experiencing. Like, please. And then Guru Maharaj took it further and he said, so with female beauty, he said, should we only accept what we discover on the dissecting table, on the dissection table? Right? And I've mentioned before that Swift and Gulliver's Travels, the Lilliputians in the beginning, you know, he's in a place where he's a giant and they're tiny. There's four voyages. The other one, Brobdingnag, I forget what their name is. They're nonsense type names, but Brobdingnagians or something. They're giants and he's tiny. And he's given as a gift to one princess and she likes to carry him around on her breast, and just for comic relief, he's describing what like a 6-meter breast looks like. And up that close, it's not erotic to him. That's his joke. He's saying, so in other words, it's just an illusion. If you could see this on some microscopic level, you'd be appalled. So Guru Maharaj is saying, is that what? So that beauty, what we can discover on the dissection table, that, and we'll cancel out everything that every poet ever wrote, every song they've ever expressed, right? When these poets describe these women as beautiful, I thought about this, because this is before there was photography. And then I'm saying, like in the modern world, I can just imagine people going like, well, she's not that hot, you know. But I'm saying, he's written all these lines. If you read the poetry, you'll think, this is the most beautiful woman ever imaginable. And if you saw an actual photograph, you might disagree. And then what would that lead you to conclude? Oh, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's a subjective thing. It has little to do with objective reality. There's some way that he's seeing that is causing him to appreciate beauty. So, and Guru Maharaj gave a nice example about one poet. Perhaps it was Wordsworth, but it has. He describes seeing a girl in the woods who's next to a stream. And so in the line, it says, I forget the exact words, but someone that Gromers is quoting observed, it's, the sound of the stream made her look more beautiful. So Gromers said the conclusion was, ear beauty contributed to eye beauty. And this is how you see how Gromers can extract from these things and take the Krishna conception. What is the Rupa Goswami sloka we said? Nama Rupa. Sound. Rup means form and beauty. Sound beauty contributed to eye beauty. From the Shabda Brahma, from the spiritual sound, the spiritual form and beauty comes out. Not that we put, you know, wallpaper in front of us and, you know, light the good incense and then take Krishna Nam and then imagine, oh, back to that, that mind is a mental substance. So Krishna conception is not a product of imagination. But when what we've heard from Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnava goes to the ear and touches the heart, then the heart expresses Krishna Nam. When the heart is under the influence of Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnava, then there may be some revelation about the form of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna. So what does he say in the second half of the sloka? The first half we could concede to the man said, if the finite can know the infinite, he's not infinite. Yeah. Takshri Krishna namadi nabhavyed graham indriye. But the second part, sevan mukhe hijavaro shayam eva spurtyada. Sevan mukata means, but if you become infused with service, if the senses, mind, intelligence, everything you've got becomes infused with service, the serving current, spurtyada, then Krishna will appear. Just like here, we have so many things here that are giving light, right? These two LED panels or whatever they are and other things. If you take away the electric current, the same exact apparatus is there and it's darkness, right? So what is giving illumination? It's the current. That's what's giving the illumination. Take away the current, the same objective external apparatus structure is there, and it's dead, it's lifeless. That's why Guru said, you know, firing blanks. Like when they, in the Olympics, before they, you know, they fire a blank. The blank sounds just like a bullet, but there's no bullet. So he's saying, namakar bahi roy bata namakabu noy. Just vibrating Krishna or Hare Krishna without Sevan Mukta, the Seva current, nothing. It's a shell. Right? He said firing blanks. A shell of what? No substance. So, we are so desperate for anandam, satchid anandam, satyam shivam sundaram, beauty, beautiful, beauty, love, happiness, charm. We're so desperate that we, although if you put on your list on the matchmaker, it's what we could call that is ideal criteria. I say, how do you envision your ideal counterpart? Oh, they'll be like this and like that, and check off these things. We can call that ideal criteria. And then what do you do? Try to impose ideal criteria on someone who is less than ideal. And gradually, as that becomes revealed, we become disappointed. It ends in frustration or disillusion. But here I like to equate ideal with the absolute. So really what we're doing is that desperate need to connect to the beautiful, the loving, where we kind of know what it is intuitively in our hearts, but we're, for want of any idea about the personality of Godhead, we're trying to impose that here. And it's necessarily doomed to failure. So what does Manu Smriti say? Hridayena binu gyato yo dharmasta nibodhata. After all these things, vidyat bi, sevita shat bi, nityam advesha ragi bi, who's the qualified saints, and they'll be detached from the world and attached to the spiritual things and all of that. But it's saying, what is the last factor? Hridayena binu gyato yo dharmasta nibodhata. The heart will recognize, as the poet says, the heart leaps up and says, yes, om. Yes, this is what I was always searching for. We were discussing that as you pursue Krishna consciousness, and you know, if someone asked you, like, well, when did you, you know, join, or when did you come to Krishna consciousness? People will tell a story. But I began to realize in time, as years went by, that the story changed a little bit. Not in the sake of inaccurately, but you now had a new perspective to see other events that may have also contributed to this, that weren't so apparent before. Before it was clear, this sort of led to that, and then this happened. But as time went on, we see, well, actually, that first thing, there was a little before that and this, and then it starts expanding. In other words, the vision starts expanding of seeing more Krishna present in more things, and actually can reach the point, hopefully, we aspire to, where someday the aspiring servitor will say, like, I do not recall a time when I was ever not searching for Krishna. Because that's the truth, actually. But we've accepted so many non-Krishna as substitute. What did I say substitute meant? Upadhi. It generally means designation or rank. Sarvupadhi vinirmuktam tatvaratena nirvalam. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti, Ruchite. But one of its meaning is substitute. When you've given up substituting persons, places, things, then Krishna is one way to render that also. And I remember one Malta Malini, who we call affectionately, she was the day before she's leaving the mat, you know, in India, there's street dogs, and they're understood in a particular way, and then there are cats. The whole Western obsession with cats has not hit India yet. You know? So they're usually really afraid of people. And it's the day before she's leaving, and she goes to this one, like, here, kitty, come on. And the cat's recoiling And she's thinking, oh, maybe just shy. She thinks if I just pick up the cat and hold, you know, and the cat bites her on the forearm. And she has to get like major shots and it's right before she was going. And like she's now going to say goodbye to Gurudev. And Gurudev, her arm's all bandaged up and everything. And she says, like, do you have any parting instructions for me? And Guru, he's like, do not be attached to anything in this world or any animal. And he's going through, and then in the end he goes, or any human being. (Laughter) But it's like he was saying, like, see where this leads. It leads to some you know, but the way he said it, nor human being. But he said it very gravely, and then he's like smiling when he's giving cautionary advice. But if we realize that same search criteria should be applied to Krishna. So Guru Maharaj's first book, what was the title? Search for Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful. And part of the beauty of Krishna conception is that the search is valuable. If someone laments for a lack of Krishna consciousness, that has value. That's a valuable thing, to express that kind of a sentiment. When Prabhupada, he liked the Sad Goswami Astakam, Srinivasa Charja, 8 slokas in praise of the 6 Goswamis. And he liked all of it, but he'd quote different slokas various times. But one, he quote, the last one says, Hey Radhe Brajadevi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Shuno Kutaha. He said, not that they have found, they're saying, where are Radha and Krishna, Nanda and where are they now? Are they on the banks of the Jamuna? Are they in Govardhan? Have they gone to Radhakund? Where are they? He said, the search for Sri Krishna, the search is valuable. Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, what? Kahan Krishna Prananath Murali Badan Kahan Karun Kahan Pan Brajanbranandan. He's madly running the search for Krishna. So much so that he, where's Vrindavan? It's interesting, because Guru Maharaj said, in a mood like a child, childlike wonder, he's searching for Krishna. And doesn't know which way is Vrindavan. You know, he didn't stop that. Someone's like, well, it's that way. He's running, but we can say, and like orbiting. And one thing we can understand, the love and affection in the hearts of his devotees will not release him, allow him. He only goes to Vrindavan after the devotees a few times say, yes, but, and then they, next year. Well, this year, just wait till the, and next year. Finally, when they realize they have to, and they're saying, well, at least, you know, wait till the Rath Yatra and then, you know, but he does. But so that pull of his devotees, but still he's wandering this way. But another way we can look at it, that, what does Narottam Thakur say? Yata, Vrindavan, Vaishnavagan, what is that? Vrindavan Stan. Something, wherever the Vaishnavas are, that is Vrindavan. I can't remember the Bengali right now. Yata Vaishnavagan, Vrindavan, Stan, something like that. So he is searching for Krishna in that mood, right? In the mood, Radha Bhava Duti Subalita. The supreme positive, Krishna, in the mood of the supreme negative, searching. And, as Gurudev said, what is his tasting matter of Mahaprabhu? Pidabir Navakala Katuta Garbhasinirvasino Nishandena Sudam Madhuriman Hankara Sankochanai Prema Sundari Nanda Nandana Puro, etc. Rupa Goswami is saying, this divine substance, those who are relishing it, what is it? It's separation. As Gurudev said, even the animals understand the joy of union, but who can understand the sort of relish the heart can experience through separation? This is a very deep subject matter. Krishna, as we said, he's Govinda. He's the one who is the ultimate absolute search criteria. The most beautiful, loving, affectionate, charming, sweet, tasteful personality, right? But that Krishna, who is Rasaraj, understands everything about union and enjoyment. He descends as Mahaprabhu to experience separation, Radha Bhav. What sort of prem appears in the heart of Radharani in separation from Krishna? That has awakened his curiosity. Aparam kasyapi pranayi janyavindasya kutuki. So therefore, we can understand. And what are his primary pastimes? Ratyatra, which is what? Radharani, Rajagopis, after 100 years of separation, meeting Dwaraka Krishna in Kurukshetra and expressing some disappointment. No flute, in the dress of a king. They want Gopavesh, they want him as a cowherd boy. Flute, Jamuna, Vrindavan, that's our Krishna. They're saying, what kind of a Krishna without a flute and not the Gopa dress? That's not our Krishna. And Krishna's, you know, happy to see that, how fanatical they are. And we're told they're disappointed to see Narayan, who's inconceivably beautiful. I mean, it's Krishna in another way, but that's not good enough for them. Dwaraka Krishna is not good enough for the Brajagopis. So that's the Ratyatra pastime. Mayi bhakti ari bhutanam amitvattaya kalpate distyad marasin matsneho bhavatinam marapana. Krishna is saying, generally, people consider it their good fortune if they get me in some way. The yogis have a glimpse of me in their heart. Gyanis, karmis get relief from impending sinful reactions. Understandably so. He said, but I consider myself fortunate that I am the object of the pure love that is in your hearts. That is a great treasure to me. So he is revealing something candid and confidential. And then he assures them, and you know, I belong to you. Actually, through by the grace of Narayan, my expansion, this Dwaraka pastimes are taking place. Actually, I'm always with you in Vrindavan. When Radharani hears this, she tells Braj, we can go. He just certified he's ours, he's always ours, and we just needed to clarify a few things. But so we're told this happiness of taking Dwaraka Krishna, who's Jagannath. Why does Jagannath look that way? The transformation, ecstatic transformation of feeling separation from Vrindavan. The intensity, his limbs have gone inside, his eyes have gotten very big, and he's in this ecstatic, transformative state. And they're like, he's stunned, can't put him on the chair. They're taking him back to Vrindavan, Radharani and Brajagopis. Why? It's not incidental that this is the pastime that Mahaprabhu celebrates every year for 24 years in Jagannath Puri with his devotees. And where he's singing like Radharani and expressing all of her sentiments. So there's that. But in the last 12 years, we're told behind closed, that's, even though he's saying very confidential, private things, not everyone can understand what's being expressed there. Still, there's some public. There's some level, as ecstatic as it is, there's some level of control, suppressing ecstatic mood and sentiment. But in the Gangbir, behind closed doors, with Srup Damodar and Ramananda, 24 hours a day for the last 12 years of his life, he's plunging the depths of Radha Bhav in separation. And What did I want to say? And it's the zenith point of that is said when Uddhava is delivering Krishna's message from Mathura Dwarka to the Braja Gopis. They're feeling so much separation. And while Uddhava is delivering that message, the Brahmar, the big black and yellow bumblebee, comes bumbling in. And Radharani, taking as the messenger of Krishna, or Krishna himself, starts chastising. And this prajalpa, 10 different types, are given by Rupa Goswami beyond our capacity to discuss, but it's there. This divine madness, we're saying, what's going on behind closed doors? It mentions the Uddhava Darshan. That's a way of alluding to this Brahma Gita, this divine madness she experiences in separation from Krishna. Some say that's why Krishna may have taken the form of the bumblebee to see that. And having seen that, still, what is it like to feel that and express that? That's what's caught his imagination. That's why these are inconceivable pastimes of divinity. There's nothing like this described anywhere. So no, that Mahaprabhu, he's not descended to relish union. As Krishna, he already knows that more than anyone. Adi Purusha, he's actually the only enjoyer. Only Krishna truly understands enjoyment of that type. Here, he wants to understand what is the position of the devotee, and not any devotee, but the highest devotee, Mahabhav, Swarupini, Radha Thakurani. So, in the introduction, Charitamritam, based on the notes of Srupa Damodar, it's given that Sri Radha Pranaya Mahima Kidjusho Vanayeva. He wants to experience what Vanayeva means, what she alone experiences. That means Mahabhav. No one has more heart than Radharani. No one has more Krishna in her heart than Radharani. No one can give more Krishna than Radharani. You can't get as much Krishna by going to Krishna than you get from Radharani. How about that? That's less of an experience than the Krishna you get from going to her. That's the secret, open secret of our line. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidjusho Vani. Because why? If you say, why? Oh, you're just saying that you're, you know, fans, fanatical followers. No, there's why. It has who can extract back to finite and infinite. So a finite goes to the infinite direct. What is your capacity for exchange? Radharani is not only Krishna's counterpart, I like to say, she's his better half. She's the better half of the sweet absolute, if such a thing is possible, and apparently it is. She's the better half of the sweet absolute. Krishna's Rasaraj, right? The king of rasa, he is rasa personified, but she's who can extract his nectar. She can extract the nectar, and that's what she, and how? An equal, she's his equal, predominating moyati Krishna, predominated Radharani. She can extract the whole of Krishna. So she, those who assist and serve her, she nourishes them with Mahabhav, which is beyond the constitutional capacity of a jiva soul to experience. But she can do that. Nourish them with Mahabhav. They cannot get that direct. So, Guru said, what is Mahabhav? This is what he is relishing behind closed doors. Ratyatra, for say, 24 years. And that tells you, that's the zenith point of separation. And what does Guru Maharaj say? Service according to the intensity of its necessity draws remuneration. There's a science to this. If you can render service at that plane at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no chance of ever returning to this plane. So it's strategic, it's a strategy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this line of Saraswati Thakur, et cetera, Guru Maharaj, Gurudev. So, but these two points, Rath Yatra, and then with the other, behind closed doors, the Uddhava Darshan, Brahma Gita. And what is it doing? The heart now, you can plunge the depths of heart that are not achieved in union. And union, you know, the Rasa Leela lasts the night of Brahma. 4,300,000,000 years. Brahma Ratri. Yogamaya summons so many nights to combine as one. 4,300,000,000 years that evening. Right? That, and what is, interestingly, back to the romantic idea of like the night that never ends. The Rasa Leela is that night that never ends. Right? So, but what do the Braja Gopis say? Like Gurudev said, no amount of association with Krishna is satisfying. Because it leaves one hankering for more. So what do they say? That night of 4,300,000,000 years, Brahma Ratri, they say, it was like the blink of an eye. It was so fast. Gone before we knew it. Blink of an eye. Union. But in the pastimes of separation, we're told, the blink of an eye is like forever, is like a day of Brahma. They can't tolerate it. Now the blink of an eye is gone in another way. Intolerable amount of time to be separated from Krishna. Cursing Brahma. You don't know how to make eyes, you fool. Teenage girls, Guru said, half civilized, stupid jungle girls. I mean, he said that. Right? They're posing that way. They're cursing the creator. They shouldn't do that. But they do. They're saying, you don't know how to make eyes. You should have made non-blinking eyes. Or in another place, Radharani said, I wish I had like eyes like a fish. They're just always open. Then I can drink the nectar of the beauty of Krishna. This is the research of the spiritual scientists, what they've discovered and shared. And Gurudev said, just saying, what is his tasting matter? You want to understand who Mahaprabhu is and properly, then see, what is the tasting matter of his, and what is it? We can say union and separation, but separation yielding the superior, taking one to the deeper region of heart. And that's why Krishna, why is he hiding from Braja Gopis? You read this Bhagavatam, we said 10 cantos, 9 cantos, backstory and internet. You get to the 10th canto, and now it's the Rasa Leela, and you've heard about it, you're reading this, and it just appears to be starting, and then Krishna disappears. You're thinking, what's going on here? This can't be. We just read all the way up to this point. Now he disappears from the Braja Gopi. And they're like, why? And they're and it's like heartbreaking. He's everything to them. They've broken every law, crossed every prohibition, you know, to give themselves to Krishna in the dead of night. Now, and what is Krishna saying? In the beginning of them, you know, this is inappropriate. You should go home. It's against the Vedas, your parents, your husbands, your family. And what were you thinking? And those Braja Gopis, their heads fell down and like the kajal and the mascara's running, it's falling. And what are they thinking? And you think, Krishna is so cruel. What are they thinking? They're thinking, Krishna is controlled by prem, and he's rejecting us. That means that we don't have prem, so What was all of this? We renounce the Vedas, society, moral structure, our parents, husbands, family. We're imposters. The greatest devotees ever. We think sometimes we're Krishna conscious. These are the greatest devotees ever. They think we're imposters. We don't have any real love for Krishna. And their tears are pouring. They're going away, but they don't go away. And that's why Gaurav said, the test in Krishna consciousness, if you realize candidly, you know, from your heart, like, after all of this, really, I have nothing. He said, but, you say, but I have no other shelter and I have no other, you know, this is what I want. So I don't have, but I'm not going anywhere. And the devotees haven't thrown me out yet. He said, then you just might be a devotee. It could be possible. That impossible of, you know, impossible things. So, and then Krishna reveals, Vishwanath Chakra Bharti Thakur saying, Krishna knows that, he's saying like, Rasa Leela was scheduled. You know, we interrupt the scheduled event to bring this message from Krishna. Saying that, all right, that was there, and all the indications, and I told Yogamaya, and everything was arranged. He's saying, but I knew that if I hid myself and plunge them in an ocean of separation, and their hearts went to that deepest region, he said, then I knew that would be a good Rasa Leela. When I reappear, how happy they will be. So he knows, I will only achieve that particular depth of heart by apparently being cruel and separating myself. And Vishwanath Chakravarti makes an interesting observation that sometimes the devotees newly connected with Krishna consciousness, they think like, why after all this chanting, you know, hasn't Krishna revealed himself to me? And Vishwanath says very beautifully, he said, he could, but he knows you're capable of better. So he's not going to reveal himself until you go to like these deeper and deeper regions of heart. That's Krishna's mercy. Not that Krishna is cruel or insensitive or not reciprocating, but he's bhavagrahi janardhan. There's a particular quality of heart that he wants to taste. And he knows that we're capable of that. And this is his way of bringing us to that position. Hare Krishna.